What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 55 of the MMRcade podcast and the final podcast episode of the year. It's exciting, Rob. It's been a big 2025. 24. Yeah, I'm getting confused.
You are too close, too soon. 2024 was a massive year, and it was amazing. It was an amazing year. This is a great way to round it off. Train today, you know, feeling good. Going to try and hit an early night. Got to do my best to stay up till the 9 o'clock fireworks, but we'll see what happens.
9 o'clock fireworks or midnight?
Oh, no way, dude. No way. I grew a lot as a person, learned a lot of things, did a lot of things, and yeah. I'm so excited to hit the new year running.
Man, it's going to be an exciting year, but we thought to recap this year, there's been so much that's happened in the UFC, so many great fights, great knockouts, great cards. We're going to do kind of like an awards show, I guess, talking about some of our favorite fighters or who do we think is the best fighter, favorite fights, best KOs, best submissions, etc. We worked with you in the community section as well to get a lot of these nominees. So we'll talk about that, plus some of our favorite games of 2024 as well. So if you are new to the channel, please like, subscribe. But Rob, let's start off with Fighter of the Year, all right? Mm-hmm. This was a really tough one for me to get nominees for and to decide between because there's a lot of great nominations. And I know you want to jump in already.
I just want to hit all our fans, supporters, and people that are just tuning in for the first time, maybe with a caveat, all right?
Go on.
These are our opinions, okay? These are just our opinions. I'm going to speak for myself. I don't watch UFC religiously from the start of every show till the very end, okay? There are fights that I'm sure are spectacular and have been the best fights in history that have slipped through the gaps for me. And I apologize for that, for, you know, just not seeing those. I'd love to hear about them in the comments. If you have fights you want me to see that are just that spectacular, put them down there and I'll tune in.
Yeah.
Tune into them. But I just want to, just before we say what we want to say, okay, obviously because of Meter and the hype and because they were on the tippy end of like main cards, right? before we drop those fights, those names, and everyone just jumps on us, but what about this, which was like on a prelim at 3:30 in the morning on a random Saturday afternoon on a local show, okay?
Well, this is kind of why I try to do the legwork with posting the questions in the community section, mm-hmm. because everybody made like the top recommendations that I saw on other websites as well. So we should cover everything, even if myself or Rob haven't watched every single fight, seen every single knockout. But I think we are going to cover some of the top stuff. But when it comes to Fighter of the Year, there are two very clear candidates as to who would be Fighter of the Year in 2024. And then a few others that I would absolutely include in that top four or top five. So in my personal opinion, when you talk about Fighter of the Year 2024, it's Alex Pereira versus Ilia Topuria. I think those are the two clear standouts for what they did, what they achieved in 2024. And there are other fighters there as well. But Rob, can I get your opinions on Alex Pereira versus Ilia Topuria? Who would you name Fighter of the Year 2024?
So my Fighter of the Year, and I've mentioned on a Unibet video that I've done recently as well,
yeah,
is Ilia Topuria. I think the work that he has put in this year, the names that he has defeated in his division, like Alex Volkanovski, probably one of the best featherweights ever.
Yeah.
Max Holloway, one of the best featherweights ever again. Two guys that stand out to me in that division so far ahead of the rest of the division. Like, I mean, the gap was massive. Yeah. And it's like when we saw Volk beat Max – and then Max not reclaim that title, I and a lot of other people thought, who beats him? Because then Max went back to the pool and just started destroying people. Like, you saw how big that gap difference was between Max and the rest of the division, which means that how good is Volk? And then Topuria comes in and finishes both of them.
Yeah,
I know people are going to point out, like, the situations and scenarios and the fight frequency and everything else around Volk, right? But take all that away, okay? Because at the end of the day, a win loses that, and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. He went into this division against two of the dudes, standout featherweights of all time, and not only beat them, he finished them. in outstanding fashion.
Yeah.
Like in great fashion. I think that to me, because like if we argue with Pereira, yeah, he fought frequently. He fought short notice. But in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I think Pereira's against the people that he fought, or actually the division itself, not the whole division, but the people he fought, I think he is that far ahead of everybody else. You know, I don't think the competition was as close as what it was in Topuria's case.
Yeah. No, I very much do agree. I was having this debate with others after Topuria got that win against Max Holloway because, as you mentioned, they are two of the greatest fighters, not just at the moment in that division, of all time, right? In Volkanovski and Max Holloway. I agreed, kind of put aside what happened with Volkan and Islam Makhachev because, like, Volk still came back to fight. He was there. He was training. He was ready and willing. And Topuria knocked him out. If it was just that knockout, I would have seen the argument against Topuria being Fighter of the Year. But then he goes and he knocks out Max Holloway, who I don't think technically had ever been knocked down. Nope. He'd never been knocked out for sure. And that was a Max that just beat Justin Gaethje at UFC 300 at lightweight. Like, this was like prime Maximus Holloway at his peak, and he knocked him out as well. You know what I mean? So the quality. Well, he was. Did you see him against Justin Gaethje? He was huge, dude, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the best version of himself that we saw.
And Topuria knocked him out, man. So in terms of quality of wins, quality of fighters, Topuria absolutely does trump Alex Pereira. When you talk about Pereira in 2024, it's the circumstances around the fights that he had. Not only did he fight three times, beating Hill, Prochaska, and Roundtree, but it's the way that he did it.
Yeah.
Short notice, saving cards. Yeah. He did that numerous times in 2024. And
relatively speaking, easy finishes. Okay.
Like, relatively, you're right.
Not in the case of Khalil, but still made it look easy. I know he probably lost the first two rounds.
Well, Khalil was a hard fight. I will say that.
Going into round three, I don't know what it was. I just never But yeah, anyway, for the first two at least, you know, two top dogs in that division.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But also, like, you've got to talk about, like, the stage that was set as well. It was the main event of UFC 300. The way that he got that kind of groin shot, pushed Herb Dean away, knocked him out. That was just a freaking cool moment. Yep. And then with Yiri again, the switch high kick was beautiful. Yep. So it's neck and neck, man. And obviously, like, there's a quality versus quantity argument here. But I would also say that Ilya Topuria defeating Volk and Max Holloway to not just become the champ, but also defend the title in his first defense against the next best in the division.
Yep.
It's hard to argue against that.
Very, very. That's why Topuria is my fighter for 2024. Yep.
But I do want to say this as well. There's a number of honorable mentions that need to be mentioned here. Joaquin Buckley, man, four wins in 2024. Vicente Luque, Ruzib Boyev, Wonder Boy, Colby Covington. Destroyed Colby Covington. Like, Joaquin Buckley had a fantastic 2024, as did Diego Lopez, as did Dricus du Plessis.
Honorable mentions.
Yeah, for sure. The reason why I wouldn't put Dricus du Plessis in, like, I would say he's fifth, maybe not in that top four, is because it was a very, very close fight with Sean Strickland. Some would say controversial. Some would say he lost that fight. The win against Izzy, man, I jumped out of my seat. That was freaking insane.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason why I find it tough to put him, you know, in the same category as Alex and Ilya, you know what I mean? Just because it was such a controversial win. But Diego Lopez and Joaquin Buckley have to be up there.
Can see that for sure. For sure.
So, Rob, Ilya Topuria, have we decided?
Yep. He's our 2024. Fighter of the year. MMA arcade.
I should make a cool little graphic and I'll do something. I'll do something in the community tab.
I hope he realizes how big an honor this is.
Absolutely, man. The first year of the MMA arcade awards. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. And he gets our fighter of the year.
Forever. I'll email his manager. I'll be like, hey, come on the show.
Just let him know. Someone let him know. Okay. Someone let him know. Just message him.
I'll ping him on Instagram.
Yeah.
So Ilya Topuria, our fighter of the year, Alex Pereira at a very, very close second. But now we've got fight of the year. And Rob, I did actually see that Unibet video that you made where you talked about your fighter of the year or fight of the year. Sorry. Let's get into it. What was your fight for 2024?
Well, it's tricky because my fight of the year and my KO of the year are the same thing. Okay. Should I just go into both?
Look, it's hard to not mention both. We will talk about the obvious KO that you're talking about in the next category, but just
gives it away.
Yeah, it does. But everyone knows what it will be anyway.
Yeah, my fight of the year and my KO of the year, same thing, same fight. Gaethje versus Holloway. Okay. Mm. Not only was I did I think it was an outstanding fight, but I just thought there was so much story, like kind of like backstory in anticipation of the fight. Yeah. And then when the fight happened, the adversity that Gaethje broke his nose round one and then was persevering and then dropped Holloway in, I think it was either three or four. And you're kind of always wondering if he would get back. And then the way they sealed the deal at the end of the way Holloway pointed to the center of the ring, he was ahead four rounds, I reckon. You know what I mean? Like he was winning that fight, but still was like, nah, let's throw it. And then knocked out Kevin Gaethje. Knocked out Justin Gaethje, who has one of the biggest chins in the game, right? In a firefight that Gaethje's good at. Like that's what he's good at. Mate, it was outstanding. You know, everyone was wondering before that fight, like, what's Holloway going to look going up again? He didn't look very big. He didn't look like he had the power, the stopping power when he fought Poirier. So, like, even I was underestimating him, thinking, like, I didn't like the way he looked against Poirier. So, I'm going to have to back Gaethje because Gaethje's a demon for guys at his weight division. And then for, like, Holloway's going up. You know, we didn't know.
Yeah. And you talked about story. Like, this was Max going up. This was Justin. He could have sat on the sides and probably got that fight against Islam Makhachev, right? He ran, he took a huge risk with that. So there was a lot of story, a lot of excitement heading into that fight. And I think that added to it. Plus the fact that it was on UFC 300. But I will say this, man. So I wouldn't call this one my fight of the year. The only reason is because when I think of fight of the year, I think of like barn burners and real back and forths, real close competitive fights. If you really look at it, Max Holloway, for the most part, dominated Gaethje in that fight, right? So it was a beautiful performance. It could even be performance on the year on Max's side. But when you talk about fight of the year, that's the only reason why I wouldn't give it to this. I think there are other more exciting, bloody, tough, back and forth fights that had everyone up on their feet. With Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, you had knockout of the year for sure. And we'll obviously talk about that. But I wouldn't quite call it fight of the year. But that's just my opinion.
I feel like, though, whenever Justin Gaethje's in a fight, he's in it the whole way. You know, like there's heaps of fights he's been getting pumped and then like ends up knocking the dude out just because like that's kind of his war of attrition. You know what I mean? And we saw that in those later rounds. He landed on you know, Holloway.
In that fourth round. Yeah. Like I thought it could happen. This is it. This is the story.
Is this the turning point? And you know what? And he was fighting through all of that with a broken nose. Which is crazy.
Dude, that spinning back kick was landing all bloody night. How beautiful was it? Every time.
I don't, mate. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him throw so many spinning back kicks.
Nah. It's like such that was never in his arsenal originally.
Such a random weapon to pull out on like this guy.
For sure.
And it was so effective. Obviously, there's like that slim piece of luck involved the way he landed it and broke his nose.
Yeah.
But, mate, you know, miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
For sure. But look, this is what I would say is my fight of the year. It would be Esteban Rybovic against Daniel Zellhuber at UFC 306. Dude, this is the fight where if someone's like, please do. Look up the highlights.
I watched it.
We did the review. There's just been a lot of fights this year. But so many. If someone came up to me and said, hey, Johnny, I want to get into UFC, show me a great fight from this year, this would be a fight that I would send. It was a striking masterclass, man. Round one was good. It wasn't like barn burner amazing, but it was still active and competitive. In round two, it just picked up, man. Their combos, their counter-striking, their body work, head movement, it was all beautiful dude. And then in the third round, freaking Zelhuber knocks Ribovic down. And then Ribovic knocks Zelhuber down. And then he's up against the cage and he's getting freaking battered. Oh, it was so good. It was so good, man. That third round was so bloody. It was beautiful. I love that fight, man. It was such a striking masterclass.
For the life of me, I cannot remember it. I have to watch it again.
I don't know how you can't remember it, bro. It was such a good fight.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was competitive too. I touched on how Holloway and Gaethje wasn't as competitive to get it into that fight of the year category for me anyways. This one was genuinely back and forth. It was a split decision win. Like, either of them could have won it, but Ribovic in that third round, man, just destroyed Zelhuber. But in the second half, after already getting knocked down, man, such a good fight. Such a good fight. This is the one that you need to watch, bro. I'm just telling you right now.
I watched it.
Or rewatch. You did. But you can't remember it.
I can't. I'm sure I spoke about it.
Yeah. Can I also throw another fight while you're watching that in the ring? I know that you didn't watch this one, but Mukhtarbek Orhovay against Mateusz Radbezki. Holy shit, dude. You talk about the first one that I just mentioned with Zelhuber. That was a striking masterclass. This was just a brawl. They were so tough. They were throwing to knock each other out with every single strike. Mateusz was loading up and trying to kill Orhovay, and Orhovay just didn't bloody care, man. His eye went like this. He couldn't bloody see and kept going. It was insane. That one also could be my favorite fight of the year. I love that one too.
Well,
that
was
a tough fight, man.
Which one is it?
Oh, I don't know, man. Because Orhovay and Mateusz, far out. I'm going to have to say Zelhuber and Ribovic. That was, in terms of like just technical striking and fighting, it was in another league and it was very competitive and they both had their moments. But Orhovay and Mateusz Radbezki, close second.
Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to stick with Holloway and Gaethje. I understand you think that it was more one-sided, but I feel like Gaethje has such a presence in there that...
Fair enough.
I just felt like Holloway was only just out of reach of danger the whole fight, regardless of Gaethje's broken nose. I think the broken nose definitely helped Holloway control it the way he did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And like I said, like I think Fight of the Year has to have such a significance watching it that even I, with my fish memory... can remember it. Okay, so like I can remember every round of that Holloway Gaethje fight.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it is because of the story, because of the whole, I guess that's why I kind of combined that with my KO of the years, because like it all kind of culminated together, you know. It was like the sum of numbers sort of thing.
And it was the way that it ended. And we'll obviously get more into the KO specifically in the next section. But I've also got a shout out, Dan Hooker against Mateusz Gamrot. That was a crazy fight.
That was a cool fight.
Islam Makhachev against Dustin Poirier, I thought was a really good fight as well. There was a number of that were, you know, nominated in the community section. So there were some good fights this year.
I wouldn't give either one of those though, like in the
I agree. Even
like top 10 fight of the year. You know, I think they were good fights, very high level fights. Yeah, but if we're looking at fights, like what was the fight last week or the week before, the two light heavyweights, forget his name.
I'm gonna have to pull it up now.
You know what I'm talking about though, the guy that was getting flogged the entire fight, the knocked out guy.
Petrino and Jacoby.
Yeah, dude, I loved
that's
watching,
not
man.
Fight of the year though. No,
dude,
come on,
like,
I want to
honorable mention that, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe it's the way I look at fights, but I like the story, dude. Jacoby was getting beat up, man.
Okay,
That was just like, he looks like Adonis. And we're like,
he does.
He looked like he was coasting the entire
fight. I'll give
you
this.
Putting work on him.
If we were to do a comeback of the year category, that's in there. Sure.
Well, and you know, like, I really liked that, what's the main event of that one? Pantoja.
Yeah.
And the ex-Rising guy.
Yeah, Kaya Sakura. Yeah. We're definitely going to talk about that.
That was awesome to watch. Sakura looked like a like Street Fighter character, the way he was fighting, dude. But Pantoja's a dog, you know. It made me feel good watching him just like dog through stuff.
Do you know what this is called, Rob? This is called recency bias. You've got to think back to the January and the February fights.
Okay, and I said that. I've got a fish memory, dude. Like, January may not exist to me. I forgot that I fought in February. Like, October's like as far back as I go right now.
And that's why you fought three times this year.
That's why I always struggle with this stuff.
That's funny. You should rewatch Hooker and Gamrot.
Relatively recent. I thought it was a good fight. No. I thought it was a really good fight. But I don't think it was good enough. to be in fight of the year top five.
If I was to ask you to rewatch a fight or to watch a fight, you watched it. Watch Rybovic against El Huber again. Because I rewatched every one of these for this episode and it reminded me of how good it was. But then Orobai and Mataos, that was freaking insane, man.
It is like the last fights that I watched are the only ones that pop up in my head when I'm thinking about this.
Well, yeah, I don't remember every single fight. I had to rewatch these and look at everyone's nominations. Yeah. It's the only way to do it actual justice, you know what I mean? Otherwise, we just talk about what we remember.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's what I'm doing.
Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje, Rob's fighter of the year.
How do you forget that, though? Like, that was such a significant fight and such a significant finish. I don't know. And it was such a significant moment that it led to Holloway fighting Topuria, mm-hmm. which led to Topuria being my fighter of the year because of just how much outstanding work he's done. I don't know.
I get it.
Do we look at it collectively like that or do we look at it individually? I don't know. I've just realized I'm not qualified for this game show, dude. These awards, I'm not qualified to be a judge for these awards.
All right, I'm going to say this for you, okay? If we're talking in the ring, back and forth fighting, it's Rybovic against El Huber or Orobai against Rabeski, right? If you're talking about story and the way that it ended and the consequences and what led to what.
Holistically.
Yeah, holistically, Gaethje and Holloway has to be in there as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to go Gaethje for now, but that's my fight of the year.
Next category.
As well as my KO of the year.
Let's talk about it. KO of the year. It's literally the last 10 seconds that we've really got to hone in on, but Rob, take it away.
Like I said, Holloway was ahead the entire fight.
Yep.
He had no reason to risk it by pointing to the center like he does and just throw with Justin Gaethje, who's like, dude, he's a phone booth fighter.
Yeah.
Like, he's made to fight there 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And Holloway stone cold him, like just like stoned him. Gaethje was gone. Holloway had like the best walk-off, whatever, screaming. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What a finish to an amazing fight card, to an amazing story. And like that opened the door for Holloway to go on and fight Topuria for the belt. You know? It was just – and that was for the BMF belt as well.
Yeah.
Like, which doesn't mean that much, but it was cool. It was cool, you know?
And just the fashion of it, like it was the last 10 seconds. Holloway easily could have just stood back and said, I've won this, clearly. Mm-hmm. But, and I think he talked about this in an interview afterwards. He wanted to give Gaethje that chance. He wanted to end it in an exciting fashion. And remember, we just touched on in the fourth round, I believe, is when Gaethje knocked Max Holloway down.
Yep.
I think that was that technically Max Holloway's first knockdown? It might have been. But like for that to happen in the previous round, and then Holloway to be like, all right, screw it. Let's do this in the last 10 seconds. And then on top of that, to knock him out in the last second, literally, nothing else comes close to this when it comes to KO of the year.
It was wild. It was wild. And so it's such a lock that that's all I'm going to talk about.
I agree.
Like, it's just, it was an amazing moment and it was amazing, like, culmination of things. It was just, it was an amazing gateway to what led afterwards. It was just, it was cool. It was like picture perfect.
But Rob, we've got some honorable mentions. And because it's KO of the year, I've included links for you. You can just click on and watch them, man, as I bring these up. Some of these knockouts are insane. So I don't know if anyone remembers Vinicius Oliveira against Bonanno Sopage. That flying knee against the cage was beautiful. It was insane. Rob, I want to get your reaction in real time to this knockout. Like, again, it doesn't have the story, it doesn't have the consequences and the build-up as the Holloway and Gaethje and the grand state of UFC 300. It was on the fight night. But it was just picture perfect, man. It was like fatality Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Come on, Rob.
I thought it was really
more
cool.
More than cool.
It was cool. I don't think it was more than cool, but...
It it's cool. In top five for the year, for
no
sure.
No way. 100%. No way.
Disagree with him in the comments, please.
No way. No way. Jacoby, why is he not in there, dude?
Because you just watched it. That's all you remember, bro. What about this, though? All right, what about this for the next one? Taporia against Holloway.
Yeah, I was
Has
there.
Has to be there.
I saw it.
I keep forgetting that you were there. Yeah.
Dude, no, yeah. That was wild. That was wild. Everyone went quiet. It was...
Mate, you could hear a pin drop, man. Like,
yeah, man.
Taporia...
There was some big build-up as well with like... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mate. Just the way... And he did it, obviously. You can chuck the KO against Volk here. The only reason why that I did it is because I thought... knocking Max out for the first time was a bit more significant than Volk, who had just gotten knocked out recently to Islam. But the way that he gets fighters up against the cage, they have no escape. It's scary. It's yeah. scary what he can do against someone when he's got them in the pocket against the cage. Everybody should be looking to run the bloody hell away from Ilia Topuria. Don't get him, let him back you up because you're going to get knocked out.
Topuria's got such... good weapons. Like he can wrestle, he can grapple, he can pocket and box with the absolute best of them. Like that's why I always thought he was like the hardest test to date for Holloway and Volk, is because of his skill set. Yeah. So complete and so high level.
What about though, and coincidentally, this was also at UFC 308, Shara Bullet Magomed against Armin Petrosian, that double spinning back fist. That was pretty cool. I wouldn't say it's the top KO, but it's in the conversation for me. Just it was so exciting that the way that it went down. You don't see double spinning back fist often, let alone one that leads into a knockout. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was sick, man.
I thought it was cool, but like I would do you remember trying to remember his name.
Throw it at me, Rob.
No, I'm trying to remember his name. Terrible names.
What about Pereira and either against Hill or against Prochazka? I mean, that switch high kick was beautiful. Again, the way that the knockout happened against Hill was awesome at UFC 300. I think those are going to be in the conversation as well.
Well, those were just a dismantling. You know, he was just showing how much, how wide the gap is striking-wise against those two guys. The fight I'm thinking of is Bryce Mitchell versus...
You're right!
One of my favorite dudes. What's he... You know what I'm talking about? Bro.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But just
give
me the name then.
It was Josh Emmett. Bro.
Yes. Yes. Dude.
I was letting you get there. Right?
I wouldn't have. My brain was nowhere near that name.
Oh, but that was technically December last year. So dude, that wasn't 2024.
He sent him to the shed. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That long ago. Dude, my memory. Wow.
I thought it was, give you credit, I actually thought it was too. I was like, surely that's got to be in there. As you said, send him to the Shadow Realm, but that was December 2023.
Oh, well, we can't say that.
If we had done this awards show last year, we would have talked about that.
Scrap that.
By the way, did you ever watch, and click on it now, Shi Ming against Feng Xiaokan, I think it's how you pronounce it, at UFC Macau, that head kick? She sent her out on a stretcher, bro. That was a scary, scary bloody knockout. I thought that was an honorable mention that had to go here. He's watching it now, aren't you? Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. A couple of people mentioned it, and I agree. It has to be top five. It was...
Dude, I changed my vote. It's Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje, no longer KO of the Year. No longer. It's Shi Ming versus Feng Xiaokan. That head kick, that head kick was brutal. Brutal. Like, she went down, legs up in the air, stiff. And then they zoomed in her face and she's blowing bubbles, dude. That was wow.
I'm glad you had that reaction,
bro. Sorry, Justin, dude, but wow. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
I'm so glad I included it because it absolutely deserves to be talked about right now.
Let's do it. That's my KO of the year.
And you were so funny as well. Afterwards, she was like all apologetic and like, I'm so sorry. I just want to be the best fighter. It was the best ever. She became everyone's favorite after that.
It's wild.
So are you actually changing your vote officially?
100%. Somebody message her and let her know she got my KO of the year award.
She, Ming against Feng Xiao Ken, knockout of the year. I'm sticking with Holloway and Gaethje, but that is definitely up there.
No way.
and final category for our MMRKade Awards show, submission of the year.
How dare you add my face crank in the list of submissions of the year?
I coordinated with the community on this.
Bloody dang.
If I didn't add this, everyone in the comments would have been like, fuck you. You're trying to protect Rob, blah, blah, blah.
As you should.
I agree.
I never said we're not biased.
I didn't even link it there. You can see all the other ones had the links. I didn't include the link for yours.
Of course you're not going to link it. I was there.
Exactly. Rob, bullshit. I'm sorry. And when I put the post in the community tab, it was there. I couldn't go against the community. It's there as a nomination. But it's not my submission of the year. Can I at least say that?
Whatever. Let's go.
Can I give you my submission of the year?
Yep.
It's Islam against Dustin Poirier.
Hmm.
Just because the ankle pick and how he executed it into the Dars choke, it was beautiful, man. That entry, very cool. And the way that you didn't even think in that moment, oh, he's going for a Das, he's going for a choke. You just thought that he got it in an ankle pick and he's in a dominant position just holding onto him.
Yep.
The way that he turned that into a Das choke, bro, beautiful. Yep. That 100% is my submission of the year.
Mate, yeah, it was clean. And, you know, like I look at these other, you know, honorable mentions like Dricus and Adesanya.
Yeah.
We've got Pantoja and Kai. Like I thought Pantoja's jump on the back, like the confidence and the relentlessness that he attacked it with.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. And same with Dricus. Like nobody thought Dricus was going to bully him down, take his back and choke him out. Like nobody thought about it. But
no,
I just think like what was at stake for Mark? You could argue that with Adesanya as well though. But like,
it's a very close second in my opinion.
You could argue that.
Because Israel had never been submitted either. Like you talk about surprises and at that stage, everyone was like, oh, Dricus, he had this close. Dude, people thought it was a loss against Sean.
I thought Dricus was going to die at one point.
Like, yeah. Yeah, no. A lot of people didn't give him a shout, but he then submits him.
Yeah.
It was very significant. So maybe not like technically the best submission, but in terms of the story and everything and the build-up, 100% has to be in the conversation.
Yep.
But also as well, bro, Paddy Pimblett against Bobby Green, that he jumped into the ghillie and then he had the triangle choke and the armbar and then Bobby Green was asleep. That one was insane, man. Yeah. You remember that? That was crazy.
That was one where he was dead for a while.
Like, He was dead.
He was dead for a while. So what was cool? I don't know when it was. When was it that Valentina, like when she fought
Was that this year?
I don't know. I don't think it was.
No.
I want to put that one down as an honorable mention. Because she was asleep, dude.
are you talking about like her loss against Grasso?
No. Her win.
No. I don't know which submission you're talking about then. Shevchenko.
Yeah.
I don't know which one you're talking about. She lost to Grasso.
Oh, I'm getting confused.
You're thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
That fishbowl memory.
I'm thinking about the Zhao Nan.
Oh.
And the other.
Yeah. I'm pulling it up now, don't you worry.
Yeah.
It was where was it? Are you sure it was Zhao Nan?
No, I'm not.
Once you think of it, you let me know.
Oh, dude, I'll never think of it.
No. I'll try and remember.
People in the comments, please help me.
What submission is Rob talking about?
Yeah, that should be a segment. What submission could Rob possibly be talking about? Because she got finished in the first round. Bell went off. She was asleep. Got rolled off her. Stood up. Didn't know where she was. And then walked to the corner.
Which one was it?
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Mind blank. I do.
Because we spoke about the fight.
Yeah, we did.
I'm sure it was Xiao Nan. No, it wouldn't be Xiao Nan.
I don't think it was Xiao Nan. It'll pop in my head, and it'll be like later in the episode, and I'll remember it. But if I was to ask you your submission of the year, what would it be?
Probably Makhachev, Poirier. Like close second, Du Plessis, Adesanya. But I like the story that is going on with Makhachev. You know, like Poirier knew Makhachev's game was going to be the grapple, was going to be looking for submissions. Like, you're kidding yourself if you don't think Poirier did a lot of submission work defensively and jiu-jitsu for that camp. And still, Makhachev executed it like cleanly like that.
And it was a tough fight. It was a tough fight. Like, Islam wasn't getting a lot of success with the takedowns from memory. I can't remember
getting more success with striking.
Yeah. And it just proves how bloody good Islam Makhachev is. And we're going to talk about it quickly in the next section. I don't think anyone in lightweight beats him, bro, honestly.
You know what? Like, we say this, right? We say, like, how good Makhachev is. But what does that mean about Khabib? Because Khabib obviously, I don't think, had the hands that Makhachev has, but he didn't need them. He just did.
Khabib, though, was relentless. Like,
did whatever he did with his hands to get in, and then just kept people there.
He was relentless with his double legs and just kept people there. He didn't need to use the hands, but give him credit. Look what he did against Conor McGregor. He had success with his hands. So I just think that he had such a good ground game, such a good wrestling game, and a sambo game. He didn't need to use that as much as maybe Islam. I would give that my submission of the year as well.
Yep, and there are our awards for 2024.
We should do it again next time.
We should. We should. Yeah. We need to do these every 3 months so I don't forget what's up.
Right, yeah, quarterly awards shows.
Yeah, but yeah, in the comments, help me remember what I'm missing.
I bet you it's going to be the top liked comment. People are like, it's that one that Rob's talking about.
Yeah.
Rob, before we stop talking about UFC, I do want to do a quick little, who do we think is going to be champion in 2025? Because I thought it was very interesting seeing at the start of 24, who was the champ versus at the end, who is now. Yeah. I'd like to very quickly, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but very quickly, let's go through the divisions and you tell me, who do you think is going to stay as champ or who do you think might become champion?
We'll just call them out and we'll see how it ages next year. All right.
Heavyweight. So, who do you think stays a champ or is going to become champ by the end of the year?
Tom Aspinall.
Now, do you think it's because he fights Jones and wins or they simply don't fight and he just gets given the belt?
Yeah, I think Jones retires. I don't think anyone beats Tom. Although I would like to see Volkov fight him. I think this Volkov we're seeing now in the last three fights, like even that last one, I thought he won. Like, Volkov's on fire, dude. Don't know how that robbery stuffs him up right now, but yeah.
No, they should just give him the fight. Like,
anyway,
the UFC talks about, oh, what should we do? And da 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 da. Just pretend like he won. You knew he won. Give him the fight. Who cares? That's how I would treat it. But I agree. Tommy Aspinall, one way or another, is going to be heavyweight champ. Mm-hmm. Light heavyweight, who do you think is going to be champ by the end of the year? It's tough.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to say Pereira.
Yeah. Do you think he gets challenged by Ankalaev if they do fight?
I don't think in the stand-up division. But
no.
Like, Pereira trains with, like, he obviously knows, like, the only way people are going to beat him is by taking him down, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to say Pereira. I don't see the skill level there to beat him yet.
Yeah, I think Pereira beats Magomed, and in terms, like, he probably fights twice, if not three times. I don't think he's going to get troubled by Prochaska or Hill, whoever wins out of that, assuming that is a number one contender's shot. And even Jan versus Ullberg, I think Ullberg will do all right against Pereira and challenge him with the striking, but I just think Pereira is too good. His only thing against him is getting a little older.
Yeah.
That's it. And father time beats everyone. What about middleweight? Who do you think is champ by the end of 2025?
I'd have to say Chimaev, eh? I'm going to say Chimaev. I just think, I think he's grappling so good. Like, so good. Yeah.
And if you really think about it, like, Dricus is obviously fighting Sean. Whoever wins is going to fight Khamzat. which is probably close to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I would also give it to Hamzat too. I think he's going to be the champ. But mm-hmm. Drukas is very, very close. Like Drukas, we've seen pull out wins. I think he could do it as well. But I would say I'm 70-30 in favor of Hamzat on that.
Yep.
What about welterweight? What do you reckon?
You know, I think Bilal keeps it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think his hardest fight would probably be with Shavkat, but Bilal's tough as nails, dude. And I can see them fighting like a real close fight, but Bilal getting like a decision win.
Yeah. I will say this because I agree that Shavkat's fight against Ian Garry wasn't as exciting that, as we would have hoped. But a lot of people are like disrespecting Shavkat after that fight, forgetting that he literally finished every other fighter that he fought against. Yeah. And if you really think about it, he didn't fight too different to how he usually fights. That's how he's always fought. He always goes in with the clinch and works people to the ground and then goes for the submission. It's just that he couldn't do that against Ian Garry. I think he also is going to struggle against Bilal because Bilal's very good with his grappling. He's very good with his wrestling. Mm-hmm. But we should give him the respect that he deserves. I think it'll be a tough fight. But I also agree that Bilal keeps it because I don't know who else could defeat Bilal in the division. I mean, Usman, I don't think he's going to do it. Edwards obviously got manhandled by him, even if he's able to be there. JDM or Sean Brady, maybe?
Maybe.
It's tough to say. What about lightweight? What do we reckon?
Makhachev. Yeah, I think Sarukin's going to give him a really hard run for his money, but
yeah,
Makhachev's pretty complete. His team behind him is pretty good.
Yeah. I was saying this, that Sarukin, if he gets caught in a choke or in a submission like he did against Oliveira, but it's against Islam, he's not getting out of it. I know he's tough and he's fought out of those situations before, but Islam will not let him out of a submission or a choke or whatever it might be. The only way that Islam gets beaten, in my opinion, because I don't think Oliveira beats him, is if Topuria moves up and fights him. I think that's his toughest test, in my opinion. But what about, speaking of Topuria, what about featherweight?
If Topuria stays, Topuria probably.
Yeah.
I think skill-wise, he's just... Like, I think even at worst case, if him and Volk fight, it's going to be a really hard fight for Volk. You know, and I can see that being kind of like a decision loss, maybe.
Mm.
You know, Volk definitely has a skill set to beat Topuria, but Topuria's on fire right now. Volk's, like you said, father clock, all that sort of stuff.
I don't know.
Had some rough ones lately.
Do you reckon Diego or Movsar stand a chance against Topuria?
Nah. Not in my opinion. Not yet. Like Diego's good, but Topuria is really good at that inside boxing and like MMA boxing. Mm-hmm. And if he starts mixing up things to make Lopez like worry about the takedowns and stuff like that or the grappling,
yeah,
I don't know. Not that Lopez doesn't have the skill set to handle that, but I don't know. Topuria just seems really, really good right now.
Yeah. What about bantamweight? We got Merab versus Umar at the start of the year. Mm. Other fighters in waiting. Who do you reckon?
I don't know how people beat Merab right now.
Umar?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe Umar outboxes him, shuts down his wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like Merab, don't get me wrong. But I struggle to see what Merab can do against Umar. Because if you look at how Merab has won a lot of his fights, it's because he's relentless with his cardio and his wrestling. He just goes and goes and goes. But he's not doing the craziest amount of damage. And Umar can absolutely match him in the wrestling, and then we know he can outstrike him.
Yep.
I think Umar's got too many skills. I will go with Umar.
You're right. I'm going to get Umar.
All right. And then you got Piotr Jan. Sean O'Malley might be back in there, but I think Umar stays the champ for the year. How about flyweight? I think this is an easy answer.
Pantoja. He's already beaten everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Ersig. End of the year, he racks up 3 wins and he gets his rematch. He won that fight. Nah, I think Pantoja won. But Steve, I'm telling you now, man, 2 years, Steve Ersig will be in there. I'm telling you. And women's strawweight, Zhang Wei Li, I think she beats Tatiana Suarez.
Yep. Zhang.
Yeah. Shevchenko, Manuel Fiore, I think she wins. And And what about bantamweight in the women's?
Yeah.
You got Pena against Kayla Harrison?
Kayla Harrison.
Yeah.
She's an animal, dude.
Let's see where we land by the end of the year. I'm very curious to see if these guys and girls stay the champ or become the champ by the end of 2025. But that is the UFC talk. It's been 40 minutes so far, bro. It's been a long episode already.
I said this was going to be a short one. It is not.
You should just stop saying that. It's never a short
episode. Maybe I jinx it. I don't know.
But let's quickly do this because someone asked us to do this in the community section. But our game of the year, let's talk about video games for a little bit. Rob, of all the games that you played in 24, what would be your game of the year?
Well, I'm not big on playing like those mainstream games. You guys have worked it out by now.
That's fine. Like any game that you've played in 24 doesn't have to have come out this year.
24. Where's my Steam?
I mean, I know you liked Helldivers 2.
You start. I can't play Helldivers 2, dude. It bricks my computer.
That's crazy.
Optimize your game, man. Something about your game bricks my computer. And I got a spaceship, dude. Like, yeah, optimize your game, man.
Well, while you look at your Steam library, my answer is obvious. It is Astrobot. I've talked about it many, many times. It's the game that made me just enjoy gaming again. It's been a very long time since I felt like that. The platforming, the power-ups, the design, the charm, all the Easter eggs and references, the haptics on the controller, nothing, in my opinion, comes close to Astrobot. It just freaking nailed it. And it was a short experience too. Like I could sit down and play it and then leave and not play for a week and come back to it. It was so good, man. The music, 10 out of 10. Astrobot's my game of the year for this year.
Yeah, well, I thought Astrobot should be game of the year, and I think it's an outstanding game. It's not my game of the year, but...
What would be yours? You're looking at your Steam library now. Astrobot's
not cool enough for me, not edgy enough.
It's your kid's game of the year, and that's what counts.
Yeah. My game of the year. I don't know. They're all good. Like, I play the same five games every year. Like, I don't know. Like, you know.
What did you play the most? Do you know?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of my camps because usually whatever game I'm into is when I hit those like 2 weeks pre-fight. Yeah. Is when I'm playing the most about something. But you know, I really liked No Rest for the Wicked. That was really cool. That was a lot of fun this year, you know, but.
Okay. When did that come out? That was...
I don't know, but...
That was 24. Well, there you go, Rob.
Yeah, I really like No Rest for the Wicked. I thought it's... I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun playing it. I had a really good dive into Valheim this year.
Yep.
Valheim was mad. Did Dragon's Dogma 2 come out this year? Was it last year?
It did. Yep.
You know what? I haven't played enough of that, though.
I tell you what with Dragon's Dogma 2, man.
I put like a big chunk into it and then just left it.
The thing that I initially thought was cool and then acted as a hindrance was not being able to fast travel. It killed me because I got really deep into this cave and the walk back was going to be so long that I just dropped it and really I couldn't see myself going back.
I like that, how you need to use your port crystals, you need to plan your trips and stuff.
I agree, but also I don't have the time to plan and invest and save my port crystals for that. Like, do you know what I mean? I just want to be able to fast travel.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool in the moment. Don't get me wrong. I was like, yeah, this is great. Very innovative, da-da-da-da-da. But in the end, it just acted against me.
Like I had stints where like I was playing Drover. I was playing Age of Mythology with the boys. You know, like that was a lot of fun. Helldivers was the same. I thought Helldivers was so cool, dude. Until I started bricking my computer. And then we switched to Vermintide 2, which was cool as well.
Yeah.
I just don't like melee first person that much. You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know.
I will say this, Wukong, in my opinion, was fun. I wouldn't say it was game of the year, but I enjoyed it for what it was. Helldivers 2 was also up there for me as well, man. It was just like, it was just fun. It was so much fun shooting, maybe not the robots as much, but shooting bugs and all the crazy stuff that went down and you just like barely making it at the end of every round. It was great, man. Helldivers 2 is definitely up there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what? I can't give a good answer. I can't.
I think you did. I think No Rest for the Wicked is a pretty good answer.
Yeah, well, I did. I had a lot of fun with it. I really liked it. You know, I ran out of stuff to do pretty quickly, but I really liked it. I like that style of play. I like the art style is outstanding, and I love building my characters. So,
all right, let's go with that then. Sticking on video games, what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, have you been getting up to much over the past week?
Watching wise, I think all the last season of anime is finished up. And
did you finally watch Shangri-La Frontier?
No, I didn't.
I didn't. It's good, bro. Well, you should watch it.
I got a whole 13 episodes. I'm pretty pumped. I got a whole 13 episodes to jump into that. But I was watching Yakuza Fiancé. That's a strange one, eh?
Okay.
There's like,
what's it about?
This is psychos, dude.
It looks crazy.
It's cool, but it's they're psychos. It's mad, but okay. I like it. But I haven't been watching that much anime. Like, if I have, it's just been scrolling random crap. Mm. That's like actual crap, but I just...
I make a recommendation? Like, I don't know if you've watched it. Demon Lord 2099.
Yeah, I watched the last one actually today.
I actually really like it. I think it's cool.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was all right. I wasn't expecting much, but I thought it was all right.
I thought, and I'm not going to give away too many spoilers. It's the first few episodes. I thought it was going to be very like fun style, you know, anime that didn't take itself too seriously. He's coming into this new world and he's not as powerful anymore. But then it takes a turn and then you're like, oh crap, this is actually real serious. Mm. So I'm very much looking forward to finishing it. But yeah.
I thought it was all right. Like, not great, but not bad.
So nothing's really caught your fancy this year?
Not in all. The Yakuza Fiancé was cool. That was all right. That's cool.
I know you don't like sports anime, but if you did, Blue Lock is very good. It's probably one of the best of this year. I've been
reading heaps lately, like heaps.
Like novels or manga?
No, novels. I don't read manga. I don't know what it is. I can't get over the like reading sound effects. It doesn't do it for me. I just can't do it.
I get it. What have you been reading then?
Reading. Okay, well, here's a recommendation for people. Vincent the Vampire.
Vincent the Vampire.
So good. Like, I thought it was great. Pretty chunky books too.
Yeah.
Like the first one and the second one. It's really cool. It's like...
Huh.
I like books that make you, like, the characters go through something and it changes their way of thinking. And then you have to kind of understand where they're coming from. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it's such a different perspective than you're usually given. Mm-hmm. And this one's different, very different. I'm not going to give anything away.
All right.
It's really cool. I thought it was really, really cool.
So in my Google search, I found a video game called Vincent the Vampire. It's a point-and-click adventure that came out this year.
Really?
I don't know if it's actually based on the book, but that was the first thing that came up.
No.
It sounds very similar. Like, it could just be based on the book.
It's called The Vampire Vincent, book one.
Oh, the vamp, bloody hell.
And there's a second one came out, and I read that recently. Okay. It's a good book.
But what I've been playing, and it's okay, I'm so bloody torn on it. I finally finished The Outer Worlds. Like, that's Obsidian's RPG, their shooter that came out.
It's the old one now.
2019, but it was sitting in my library for a while, and I tried starting it when it came out, dropped it, and I thought, I got to finally play it and finish it. I'm so torn on it, man. It had such a slow start, and I was on the verge of dropping it and not finishing it. Like, just the world and the story and the characters they created, they were really struggling to win me over. I feel like it lacked that special sauce that something like Fallout clearly has and what they did with Fallout New Vegas. But then as I got more into the main story, and especially as the dialogue with the companions and other characters picked up, I did enjoy it by the end. The dialogue is fantastic, but I just don't know. I don't know like if it's for everyone.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think I'm sick of space games too. I'm really done with space games at the moment. Starfield, Outer Worlds, freaking, I'm done.
I'm
for
done
the time
with
being,
story.
Anyways.
I can't play any game with a story now. It just kills me.
I still find that very funny. Dude. As soon as it tries to tell a story, Rob's like, nah, I'm done.
Do you know what I'm trying to get into?
Mm.
Dwarf Fortress.
What the? You always mention the most random shit.
You don't know Dwarf Fortress, dude?
Nah,
man.
It's a roguelike, of course. That's why I don't know.
Brother,
it is. I don't play roguelike.
Crazy. It's like I'm pretty sure I'm getting autism playing, trying to play it. It's killing me because like I want to make a fortress, then make an adventurer, and then move into said fortress, and then go back to the fortress and make the adventurer my king, and then go back to the adventurer. So I'm king of the fortress that I made. Doesn't that sound mad?
Oh, sounds riveting, bro.
Dude, but riveting. It's like this 4 billion steps to get there, and I don't know how to do it. So I've been watching guides, and the more I read, the less I understand. I don't know.
It's got 25,000 overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. That's crazy.
It is the colony simulator. Like the colony simulator. It's
all right.
Yeah. But yeah.
I was into the genre, I'd play it. It's just not. You don't like story and single player games like that. I don't like roguelikes.
To be fair, like in Dwarf Fortress and those sort of games, a lot of the other roguelike games I play, you create the story.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Fair. So are you saying you create better stories than all these other games?
Well, I can care about what I want to care about. So I hate the storylines where it's like, go speak to this person. Who's this? I don't like you. Why do I have to talk to you? Why are you now coming along with me? And it's like, I hate not being able to do what I want. You know what I mean? I hate that powerlessness.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know.
That's like people that play Skyrim and don't touch the main quest. They just do what they want. I mean, there's a story in there, but you can pretty much play the game how you want to.
Don't tell me what to do. Right?
That's what quests are for.
And if I want to burn down Windhelm or whatever it's called, I can. You can't do that in Skyrim, but you can in a lot of the other games I play.
Well, you can, but it like fails everything, and then it's so it's not true.
No, and some freedom. Of the NPC are immortals. You can't get rid of them.
Oh yeah, good point.
And you can't kill kids.
I mean, I get that one. I mean,
why are you locking me out of things? Don't tell me what to do.
Install the mod, Rob. There are mods out there that let you do all the crazy stuff.
When does it stop then? You know what I mean?
True. And finally, viewer questions. If you have any viewer questions, let us know in the comments below. But we've got at XMP1052. Question for Rob. In a recent interview, you mentioned some of your favorite books, which led me to read The Name of the Wind. Never expected to enjoy fantasy literature, but here I am, a week later, balls deep in the wise man's fear. Do you have more recommendations?
Dude, nothing that comes close to The Name of the Wind. Name of the Wind is like art. It's a masterpiece. It's so good. But top of my head, I really like, if you like The Avatar, okay, and you want like an adult version of it, it's called The Furies of Calderon. It's so
good. I've actually heard of that. Yeah.
There's like 5 books in it, and it's cool. It's like a bit of romance, bit of like weak dude becomes strong guy, and it's like it's got all the element things that Avatar has, but a way cooler. It's just cooler. It's a way.
That actually sounds like something I'd enjoy.
It's like Avatar for adults, dude. It's so much better than Avatar. So good. Yeah. So good.
Next question is from at SlaysRealm946. If you wanted to introduce your daughter to martial arts, what age and what style would you suggest?
Well, I own a jiu-jitsu gym, so I'm going to say jiu-jitsu. And honestly, it's like I can only say what I've done, right? Mm. And as soon as they were of age to join, so like usually dojos have age limits, ours is 5, I put them into it. I think it's important for girls, especially like jiu-jitsu or some sort of contact sport, because it gets them used to contact. It gets them used to getting thrown. It gets them used to like being up against a bigger person sometimes, you know? I don't know. I like jiu-jitsu for my daughter. It gives her some like, gets her used to that contact. It makes her strong, gets her used to like being in a bad position and working from it and working through it.
Yeah.
So I can't. Jiu-jitsu. That's me.
Especially against the bigger opponent. Like jiu-jitsu gives you those skills to get out of those situations. And I love karate, but more so than like very striking heavy martial arts. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. At the Dog Dad asks, do you or Rob play any VR at all? There's a few highly touted games coming out this month. Man, I just think I will never play VR. It's too much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The last thing that I want to do is, if I'm tired after work and I just want to play some games, is chucking on a sweaty VR headset and sitting there for an hour or two and playing a game with all these cords and crap around me. I don't think I could do it.
VR's cool. Like, really cool. My son
It's cool.
And like, I think it's called Blades and Sorcery, dude. Like you put it on and you can just pick up people and you throw daggers at them and stab them a bit and throw the person and throw fireballs. Like it's such a power trip. It's so much fun. But I get horribly motion sick in them.
sick, you get hot and sweaty. So
I can't play.
Yeah.
But my,
Wait, so do you have like a PSVR or an Oculus or something?
I have both.
Nice. Yeah. How often do you play it?
Never. I never play them.
There you go.
They're my sons.
Yeah, fair. Do they play
I don't play PlayStation.
Dude, you should play PlayStation, man. I sung their praises this
PC
year.
PC Master Race. Don't be silly.
Fair. I got my PCs with me. Don't be silly. And finally, at ULHGP21. Bloody hell, these names. What upcoming game are you looking forward to the most? Rob, is there anything coming out next year or soon that you're really keen on? I've got a few. Like, 2025 is actually shaping up to be pretty cool. Surely you're going to play
Monster Hunter
Elden Ring.
Wilds.
Oh, that's a good answer.
You know what?
That's a good answer.
I think that's the only game top of my head that I'm like actually pumped to play. Like, I want to jump on it while the hype's real, like when it first comes out. Because I got a mate of mine called Dennis, and we did actually. You know what? Monster Hunter is my game of 2024. Monster Hunter World. That's what I was playing heaps of 2024, and I had so much fun until I got real late game and had to start grinding mats and. Yeah, no fun, but yeah, actually, no, it's not my game of the year, but it was honorable mention. Yeah, Wilds, I reckon Wilds is fun. Hunting monsters is mad with your friend.
Yeah, Monster Hunter Wilds is currently the most wishlisted game on Steam, so it's crazy popular, dude.
I'm pumped,
even right now.
I'm pumped.
For me, though, there's so many choices. You got like the new Doom, the Dark Ages game from id, Avowed. I still want to play Elden Ring Nightreign, I think it looks cool. I want to give Assassin's Creed Shadows a chance. There's the new Ken Levine Judas game, which is pretty much just Bioshock all over again. There's a few good games coming out next year. I'm pretty excited. But you know what, man? Like, part of me as well is happy to not, like, to put away the FOMO. Like, I always get FOMO when people are playing a new game and I feel obligated to play it. I want to start playing old games again that I haven't played, and that's exactly why I played Outer Worlds recently. I want to keep doing that no matter what comes out next year. So I want to try and balance it as much as possible. But that is it. That is the it. That was a long episode, over an hour, episode 55 of the MMArcade podcast, the last podcast episode for the year, Rob. Do you want to give some closing
thoughts? MMArcade 2024. I want to say a big thank you to all our subscribers and listeners and people at home that support us. Understandably, we have a big break before fights and between fights and things like that, and you guys stick around and hang around. And, yeah, thank you so much. It means the world to us. I wish you all the best in going into 2025, and we'll be back soon.
Happy New Year. Take care.